We are in a series called Rites of Passage, and I think it's going to be a good next few weeks. Here's what I want to do today. Let's start this way. Let's make a list. This is the interactive part of the service. Let's make a list of all the what we would call God moments or spiritual moments in a person's daily life, just normal or in life. Help me out with that. What are some God moments, spiritual moments? You can be really here. It'll be okay. What are some? Say it again.
Praying with our children.
Awesome. Pray. So prayer, and especially with family, with kids. What else? A God moment, a spiritual moment in your daily life. Y'all don't have any? What are they? There's not. Yeah, there's not wrong answers. Help me. Riding in the car. How so? Right. Okay. So the prayer. Yeah. Time with God, just you, time alone with God. Awesome. Car's a great time to do that. A lot of people use God's name in the car, but it's in vain. It's not. It's towards the other driver. So I'm glad you're doing it the right way. What are some other things? Anything else? What about reading scripture? Reading the Bible, right? What about what we're doing right now? What's this called? Coming to church. Not everybody agrees that this is called this particular meeting is called church, but church, right? So we read the Bible, we pray, we spend time alone with them, we pray with our family, we read scripture, go to church, right? Anything else comes to mind?
When the children act up, I always tell them, "You've got to be pleased with what you're doing."
Okay, all right.
That's
right. Okay, so our actions. What about like serving others? That's a God moment, right? We serve other people, take care of people in need. We share our testimony, right? We witness to people. These are God moments. Can you think of anything in your life then that you would say, that's not really a spiritual moment during my week?
Going to work.
There you go. Going to work. What else? Did you say anybody? I heard something. Were you talking to your mom? Okay, good. Any moment you think, I mean, you don't have to say these out loud, but these moments that you're like, that wasn't really a spiritual moment. That wasn't really a God moment. I mean, you had your God moments. We pray and read the Bible, go to church, right? We got those things. We have our testimony, share our testimony. And so then can you think of anything in your life you would say that wasn't a, it wasn't really a God moment. It wasn't really a spiritual moment. Changing diapers. There we go. There you go. There you go.
To all the,
say what?
The Walking Dead.
Watching the walk. Okay, yes. That sounds like a husband wife. People are going to listen to this podcast and have no idea what's going on right now. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And if you're listening to the podcast, you're trying to figure out what's going on. You should have been at church today instead of staying home and listening to the podcast. Last week we talked about the rite of passage of the mountaintop, right? And we talked about this idea that so many of us in church have been taught that when we have this emotional, exciting mountaintop moment where God showed up or did a miraculous thing, that's a rite of passage. That means we moved forward in our relationship with God. But the reality is, the presence of God in our everyday life is our rite of passage. Our rite of passage is accepting Christ and knowing that we are forever and always, every day, surrounded by His presence. And so it's not just the mountaintop, it's the everyday. That's what it is. And so the presence of God through His Holy Spirit along our journey, that's our rite of passage. So therefore, we also have to understand this. And here's what I want you to see today. If we're always in the presence of God, that's what we talked about last week, our rite of passage, that we're always in the presence of God, then we should understand, or at least let's turn our brains towards this thought, then every moment in life is a God moment. And this is, I know this is different and big, and it's kind of, we're going to start big, and we're going to chisel it down for you a little bit, okay, I hope. And every moment in our life is a God moment. For those who've chosen to follow God, for those who've chosen to put their faith in God and say, I am a Christian, I'm following Jesus, we see in Romans that Paul writes something that's just, it's kind of intriguing just about our daily existence. And he says it, and we use this verse a lot because in context, and one thing I always fear is taking one verse and removing it from context so that it fits my point. I don't want to do that. So I want you to know, he is talking about struggles here. He's talking about struggles in sin, but what he's talking about is our future hope and our future glory, that one day there's something to come. And he says this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, and we know that God causes, what's the word there? Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, we hear that when things go tragic, don't we? Hey, God causes everything to work for His good. But have we ever looked at it? I mean, because I studied it all week and thought, I don't want to take it out of context. Because the only thing that I've ever heard it in is a funeral. Or when somebody gets hurt or somebody loses a job, we go, hey, God works everything together for the good. You need to know that. I've only ever really heard, especially in the Baptist world, when things were tragic. And we hear this verse, but this week I'm reading through and I'm kind of like putting some scriptures together as I was starting my study. And I'm reading and it says, and I read all around it, beginning and end, it says that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So I started looking it up in other translations. I wanted to see, you know, like, what are the other translations? Well, Holman Christian Standard, the English Standard Version, King James Version, they say God works all things together for His good. Okay, so everything and all things. Well, surely I'm missing something, so I looked it in the Message. The Message says this in Romans 8:28. That's why we can be so sure, look at this word, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. You see, we've kind of been conditioned and taught that God's interested in certain areas of our life. And what's happened is, not everybody, but those who've kind of grown up in church and grown up in a faith and grown up with these thoughts, we start to believe that not only that we know God is, we say, what's a spiritual moment? Read the Bible, pray. Go to church, witness, serve. We got that. And what we believe is, accidentally, I think we've been taught that those are the only things God is interested in. That we're living in between God moments. There's these certain rites of passage God moments that when we get to them, that's when we grow spiritually. But in between those moments, we don't. And somehow, we've missed this part that says every detail of our lives is being, God is working it into something good. Every aspect of our life is being worked together, hopefully, all for His glory. And so when we've been conditioned that prayer and church and Bible reading and 10% of our finances, right, and our family, when we reach the end of our rope and we say things like, God, help me, I'm going to kill them, kids, you know, like we turn to God. He's part of our life. But this verse says every detail. It says, every detail of my life is being worked for good. For the glory of God, for those who love God, every detail, everything, all things are being worked together. And so then you have to ask that question. Is God really concerned with my daily routine? Is God really concerned? I said a non-spiritual and you said work. Right? And it's interesting. I promise you, I'm not this good. I mean, first thing on my notes is he concerned with how I behave at work, how you behave at work? Well, scripturally, it says, Proverbs 21:25 says, despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin for their hands refuse to work. Isn't that interesting that in Scripture, it says the same things that we believe about our coworkers? If you're too lazy to work, you're going to come to ruin. Is God concerned about your work life? I would say yes, because it's in Scripture. In Colossians 3:23, it says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And isn't that comforting to know if you don't like your boss very much? Because Because it says in how you behave at work obviously is important enough. Google work, how we behave at work in Scripture. And look how many pop up. You know, you guys have a beautiful tool of Bible study called Google that God created apparently on the eighth day, right? Because it will tell you anything and everything you need to know. And so if you Google, how do I behave at work? You'll be convicted. Because there's scripture after scripture after scripture that apparently God is concerned with how we behave in the workplace. Isn't that, I mean, these are things we don't think about because it's not church, Bible study, prayer, witnessing, or serving. Right? But what about how we take care of our body? It's summertime, bikini season's here, right? And we, yeah, no, I know, I'm not ready for my bikini. I can tell you that. No, thank you, Scott. Thank you. How we take care of our body. I mean, the scripture tells us that our body is our temple and that we should not defile the temple of God. And the scripture is talking about sexual immorality. But there's something to be said about our physical, what we eat and what we drink and how we exercise or don't exercise, what we put in and what we take off. And I think it's interesting, this greeting in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. There's only one chapter of 3 John, but 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you, that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." I mean, even the Proverbs 31 woman, right, you know, they do all these conferences and they talk about the pure and the obviously the perfect woman was described in Proverbs 31. Even the Proverbs 31 woman, it says that she made her arms strong. I mean, I think that means she kept herself healthy. It's interesting as you read through Scripture that there's these little touches on how physically God is concerned with how we look and who we are and what we eat and how isn't that something? Because, man, when I go to dinner, the last thing I'm thinking is, would God be pleased with me eating this cheeseburger? I'm thinking more chili, more slaw, right? Two slices of cheese, right? But is this part of the everything? Is this part of the every detail? What if, because it's in Scripture, so it's important. What about how we treat our family in the privacy of our home? Because we understand some of these things, but we tend to forget when church people aren't watching or it's just you and your wife and you and your kids at home. But he says in Ephesians 5:33 again, says, "So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and a wife must respect her husband." He goes on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother." Now, you can go and teach, let your kids listen to the podcast later. But do we ever outgrow honoring our father and mother? Do we? If you're like me, I hope you're like me. As I've grown older, I've finally learned why I'm supposed to honor my father and mother. As I'm raising my own kids, I'm realizing, man, I really made it tough on them. I'm honoring them more. I'm serving and hoping to bring more honor to them. We never outgrow this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It says this is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on the earth. Verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." This is how God's concerned with how we treat our family, our moms and our dads, no matter what age, how we treat our kids, how we treat our spouse, how our kids treat us. What about, I mean, then nobody wants to talk about this, and I hate talking about this stuff, but we handle our finances. Not the 10%. I mean, that's good. We can preach on the 10% and how that may or may not even be biblical anymore since Jesus died on the cross and he now God calls for all of it as opposed to just 10%. But this isn't even about tithing. This is just about your thought about your finances. So let's say you give your 10%. Yay. Does he care how you handle the other 90%, or is that yours? Your thought about money and how we do money. Look what these are some interesting verses. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle." And we put so much trust in our money, don't we? And this is not a commercial to invest in gold. I'm not becoming Glenn Beck up here. But isn't it interesting that so quickly the thing that we worked to build, one purchase and it's gone, right? And it's really not about how much you have or where you spend it. It's about your viewpoint of it and how important it is to you. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 through 10. It says, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Is money the root of evil? Money's a good thing. Like, I like money. I'm teaching my kids to like money. We like money because money means we can eat and play and have toys, and money is great. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say to be holy you have to be poor. Poor is bad. I did that for 2 years when we started this church. I don't like poor. Poor is hard, right? I'm not rich. We're finally, according to the government standards, we don't qualify for food stamps anymore. It's awesome. Church planning is so glamorous. I mean, it doesn't say money is evil. You have a lot of it or a little of it, it doesn't make you better or worse. What does it say about money? The love of money. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the truth and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Is God concerned with how your financial life? Yeah, absolutely. Because these are all things that are important to Him. I mean, God's concerned with our list of essentials that we made. Read His Word. Spend time in prayer. Pray with your kids. To attend church. The Bible says, don't neglect the fellowship of others. Right? Serving the needs of others and sharing your testimony and spreading His gospel. But I want you to hear this morning, God is just as interested in our insignificance. We have these insignificant things in life that we don't even process that God cares about or that they're God moments, but it's how we spend our time and how we spend our money, the small amounts, the big amounts, how we treat our family, how we behave at work, how we prioritize our calendar. And none of these things seem to just inevitably be God moments, but God's there in every moment, so therefore every moment in the presence of God is a God moment. And so think about this. Not 1 minute of your life, not one, not 1 minute of your life is insignificant in God's mind. Psalm 139, verse 13. Last week we read the first part of Psalm 139. I want to read the back half of it this time, just a few verses towards the end here. Psalm 139, 13, it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Watch this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Watch. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. There is no insignificant downtime in your life according to God. He made you and created you and laid it out. It says every moment was already laid out before a single day had passed. And so then how do I determine what's insignificant in my life? That's the question. How could you possibly determine for you what's insignificant? If God said every moment is important, see, because what's not important to me may be the most valuable thing to you. Like Duke basketball, man. I mean, that's the most insignificant thing in my life. But to you, it seems important for no good. I don't understand why. Right? That's right. And so what's the least important thing to me may be the most valuable to me. And guess what? What's most valuable to me, what's most important to me, it may seem really trivial to you. And there's things in my life that I value that obviously my wife and my kids don't see as important. My wife doesn't care that my closet is organized and color coordinated. Shirts, shoes, pants. Yes, I have multicolored pants. It's all, when you walk in, my side of the closet, man, is like, and it's organized. Anybody else is a freak like me? Roy G. Biv, right? Right? It's the colors of the rainbow, red, orange. Okay, I got some support. I honestly thought you'd all start throwing stuff at me, but I've got some support. It is organized. My shirts are organized. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. No, you call that organized. Okay? And no, I see, and you say too much time on your hands. I would say those who don't organize are wasting all their time trying to find it when they go to pull it out. That's what I would say. See, there you go. And camo's not officially a color, though, Scott, all right? And so, man, I like, y'all helping me this morning. I told you I was struggling. We're having a good time this morning. Indigo. Oh, there's indigo. Come over. I'll show you all my indigo section. I have indigo. All right? And so I'm organized. But do you know how much that matters to my wife? None. None. Her side, she's the opposite of me, and we balance each other well. And her side of the closet is just wherever it landed. And most of it's because I put it in there because I got tired of looking at it. And that's just how she's built. And she just doesn't even care. And we just, it's in there, and she'll go, I can't find, and I don't have, or I guess I'm going to have to go buy a new shirt. I'm like, no, go look in the closet, because you have them there, and it's not important to her. It's insignificant to her that things are organized and put away, but it's extremely valuable to me. My kids, I think it's an extremely valuable, I find a value in having like a clean living room to walk through, but apparently that's insignificant to my kids. And these little small, you can't see them in the dark, but they'll cut your foot open toys live in my living room, and I've fallen and tripped and cut, I get hurt in my own house because my kids find no, that's right. My kids find no value at all, none, in putting their stuff away, none, right? And so what's valuable to me may be insignificant to you, but what's most valuable to you may be insignificant to me. And so how then can you say, God, this part of my life is insignificant. This part of my life is of no value. This part is small. It's not a big deal. He said every moment, every day, every breath has already been scripted. It's already been laid out in his book. It's already there. There's no such thing as insignificant. God created you unique. He created you special. And you are different from me, and I am different from you. And none of us are the same. And so therefore, what's significant to me, what I have and what I possess, every moment of my life is of value. And here's even more. God's not only finding value in it, but he's also, according to the scripture, he's taking every little detail. He's mixing them together. And for the glory of God, he's working them for your good. And he's taking everything about your life. Every moment that is spent in the presence of God, therefore, every moment is spiritual. Every moment is a God moment. And obviously, some are more concentrated. They're more focused. But we can't separate them. You show up for church and you sing. That's a more concentrated moment, right? That's a God moment you sang. We pray together. It's a more concentrated, focused God moment. You're reading scripture means you're seeking and actively focused on God. So there are moments that are more concentrated, for sure. Man, we can't separate what's God's time and what's our time. I remember we were on vacation one year, and it was just a joke. And people who don't know me get offended by me pretty easily, I think. But I was just kidding. And Shannon, so I'm saying that up front. Like it was just me and Shannon, and we were sitting and we got our. It was just us. We were on vacation out of town, and we got our food. And she said, "Are you going to say the blessing?" And I just, like, without even thinking, jokingly, I said, blessing. I said, we're on vacation, and I'm taking a break from this Jesus thing. Just a joke, you know, like, and then I said the blessing, and we went, but I can remember, like, getting in the car, and that, just that one line, it stung me. And I was like, have I taken a break? Like, am I as focused on vacation, on Christ, as I am during the week? Because I had to, you know, preach and do my Jesus job when I was off. Did I take a break? And I'll never forget saying that to her because it didn't even faze her. She was like, "Be quiet, say the blessing." And we said the blessing and moved on. But I got in the car and it stung. And it was kind of like, Have I? And isn't that sometimes we don't say it out loud? Like, we're not willing to admit it to our wife and everybody sitting around us in the restaurant. But isn't that sometimes how we get? You go through these rites of passage moments. I came to church on Sunday. Rite of passage. I advanced in my spiritual walk because I came to church. We read the Bible, we prayed, and we sang. Oh, I've advanced, and we live between those moments. Maybe there'll be another moment this week where you open your Bible and you read it, or you pray with your family, and you have this rite of passage, and you grow closer to God. But we can't ever really separate what's God's and what's ours, because it says He's working everything together. He sculpted you and put you together perfectly, and then everything in your life, every detail is working together for His good. And so we search for these God moments. We pretend like if we've done them enough, then God will be pleased. But man, whether subconsciously or consciously, we're separating me time and God time. And I want you to know that there's no time that's not ever a God time. Is that, y'all got that? I think sometimes we think of life as mediocre. And Pastor Mike found this awesome quote. And I want to share it with you as we finish up. We think about our mediocre moments, our mundane. We talked about the mundane life. But look at this. It says, we are not saved from mediocrity and obscurity, the ordinary and the mundane. We are saved in the midst of it. We are not redeemed from the mundane. We are redeemed from the slavery of thinking our mundane life is not enough. And sometimes we get saved and we want God to, we think there's something more. And what we're saved from is the slavery of thinking that our mundane life is not enough. Guess what? Every moment you spend is a moment spent in the presence of God. Therefore, every moment is a God moment. And so God's not only there in the mundane, but He's working together the frustrating and the painful and the joyous and the emotional and the mundane. The best of the best and the worst of the worst and the most boring of the boring. He's taking them all, and for His glory, He's working them together for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything, all things, every detail to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I guess the question is, today, that came to mind as we were going through, how will you treat your mundane, insignificant parts of life? How will you treat them? They deserve more than we give them sometimes. And then as we close, are you trying to live between God moments? Are you jumping from God moments to spiritual moment to spiritual moment? Or are you living like every moment in your life is a God moment? He's working everything, every detail, all things in your day and in your life together for His good, for those who follow Him, for those who love Him and trust Him. There's no such thing as the separation of me time and God time. You're always in the presence of God. Therefore, you are always experiencing God moments. This is your rite of passage.